Coming up on TMS, there's a fly in my show.
We are the worst. I mean the best.
Oh, there you go. Dogs lie to your faces.
That cocaine just blew in here, officer.
You are drinking a lot of plastic.
Call now.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Stick shifters, get them in gear. Gonna move out, baby. Gonna disappear.
Stick shifters, you handle the stick shift. Put them in.
Get them in gear. Gonna make a wheelie. Gonna disappear.
Stick shifters with four on the floor stick shift consoles. New from Hasbro.
Talking about a bum bum.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Their milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another morning stream right here on Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbitt. Hello, Brian Ibbitt.
All of those things are correct.
Hey, a quick check on stocks. Dow Jones, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 are all up this morning.
Oh, wow.
That's good. It took quite a dive here in the last few days, but it looks like a couple of percentage points higher.
Things are back moving on an upswing. Well, that's good to see.
Hope so. I guess
now let's go to Bill with weather. Bill,
I just noticed while I was turning off notifications on my desktop that there's all this green numbers, and it hasn't been that way for days. So that's very nice. Cool. Very nice to very see. Good. Let's hope it holds throughout the day.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah. Tech stocks, what you worry about. You got your Facebook problems right now, so, you know.
Yes.
No. You never know. Hey, it's me and Brian. We're here to do it. It's a Tuesday. We got jury later. No Bill, but we have a little fun filler for that space after the break today. You guys will get to call in for 15 minutes or so and, I don't know, tell us what's on your mind, ask us some questions, do a little call now. It's always fun.
Yeah.
And then jury will join us. I have big political questions for our political correspondent, Justin Robert Young.
Oh, good.
Regarding the raiding of Trump's personal attorney's office yesterday by the FBI.
How did she get the name Stormy?
Where did this come from?
Where did the name Stormy come from?
Is she related to Jeff Daniels? We have to know!
Is she a 70s weatherman? I don't know.
So all that and more coming up, but instead of me talking about the end of the show, let's talk about the top of the show. Well, I got a little caffeine in me right now. Can you tell?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
from a little bit. Or did you have a little one of your Keurig chai coffee?
I had a chai, which apparently I got to stop saying chai tea because that's saying TT.
Good point. Yep.
Yeah, I had a TT this morning.
A TT.
I know, it's dumb. So I'm not going to say that or ATM machine anymore. Those are my two goals.
Yeah, right there. Or pin number.
Yeah, pin number. Pin number. I didn't realize pin number. I mean, pin number and ATM machine could be said in the same sentence.
You could. You could actually have two redundant things you say in the same sentence redundantly.
What would that do to a person? Would they just fold up and end up like Ron Silver in that Time Cop movie?
Like a Time Cop?
Yeah. A big purple ball of CGI and float away? That'd be great. Anyway. Oak Dragon, Jeb Bush isn't the same. That's not the same, is it?
No, because his first name is Jeb, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's
not
is
short.
That just his nickname because it's his initials?
Oh, it is?
Yeah, maybe his name is like Jerome Bush or something like that.
I didn't know that. Jerome Bush. That is the most 70s John porn
Ellis.
Name.
John Ellis Bush.
That is a porn name from the 70s. Jerome.
Jerome Bush.
Somebody order a pizza.
I'm Jerome Bush. Anyway, is that real? I didn't know that his name was an acronym, his first name.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you should have put it in
mine,
there.
By the way, my real name is Brian R. Ibbitt, so.
Really?
You call me Bri.
Really?
No.
No.
I mean, my name is Brian, but my initials are B-R-I, so you can call me Brian. That's my, it's an acronym of my name, but also happens to be the first syllable of my name.
Let's see what mine stands for, Scott.
It's like mac and cheese, right? When you say mac and cheese, the initials are M-A-C.
Oh,
which
right.
Which is the first word of the first name.
Of the macaroni, right.
Yeah, mac and cheese.
So my acronym goes S-C-O-T-T. So we got scarf, often. Wait, no, I missed the C. Scarf, cod. I can't think of one. I don't have one. I don't know why I'm eating cod. It doesn't make any sense. All right, chat room, it's on you. You come up with what you think Scott should stand for, and we'll take it. All right? Nice. Or Brian. Do Brian's, too. Let's get him in here.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Do me. Do me. Anyway.
Whatever.
Scarf cod. That's it. That's the
scarf
whole thing.
Scarf cod.
Let's...
on temporary Tupperware.
So dumb. Oh, I forgot to... sorry. I have a whole bunch of watermelons to harvest this morning, and if I don't do it, I forgot to do it. Yeah, I forgot to do it. Not a euphemism. Man. It's an actual thing I do.
I have a whole bunch of candies I have to crush. Dang it.
It's dumb how into this stupid farming game I am. I like it.
Well, hey, I'm doing the same thing with that damn Marvel game.
Oh, yeah, right. How's that treating you?
Doing well. I'm having a blast with it.
Is it shaking you for money? Is it like shaking you loose and getting all your quarters? Or
no, haven't. Well, I was gonna say I haven't spent a dime. I spent a dime early on just to get a character that I really wanted. Some shards for a character. I can't even remember who it was. I think Yondu or somebody.
Yondu's worth
it. And sure. Haven't spent any money since. And I've almost got the entire roster.
You got is MODOK in there?
No MODOK. Nope. Okay.
That's DLC, future DLC.
Probably, right? Yeah, exactly. We'll see. I mean, they just added Wolverine when they did the launch, so they're now starting to branch into Fox territory.
Oh, cool. Well, isn't it in the case of the games and comics, obviously, they don't have
Marvel
that.
Has
I don't break. Think they have exactly. that break or whatever, so they yep. don't have to pay anybody anything for those. So, but Spider-Man's already in there, right? They got that guy.
He's already in there, yep.
You got the Fantastic Four. Are they in there?
Nope, not yet. None of them. Not even, you'd think that the Thing would be kind of like the one that they'd weave in first, right?
Yeah.
He's crossed over into the Avengers. Actually, I guess Human Torch has crossed over to the Avengers. Well, I mean, in 60 years of continuity, they've all been Avengers at one point or another, but I think...
How about the Incredible Hulk? He's in there?
He's already in there. Got him. Okay. Yeah. Right. He's one you achieve, you unlock with achievements. So as you complete achievements in the game, you get shards to unlock the Hulk.
Yeah. Or his alter ego, Bryce Banner.
Yeah. Well, I'm gay and I'm Bryce Banner. Now that you dare change my name.
Don't make me angry. Oi. All right. Well, that's great. And I have a question actually related to this because you would.
By
know.
The way, people, the reference to that is that the TV show changed him to David Banner because they thought the name Bruce sounded gay.
Yes. Please understand
that's
context.
That's where that reference is coming from. It's not me.
I need to do what you just did more. I need to have a disclaimer. Clarify? More. No, I just have to disclaim because otherwise people get after me and I don't want them to get after me anymore.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if in life we could just have little footnotes?
Yeah.
So we say something and then we hold up a little number and then later on they could check that number to see, oh, he's referencing an article from the Rolling Stone issue.
It's a great idea. Like a little number two would just appear down here by my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. We need a producer that can throw those up for us.
Or just life, you know, you have it in your, there's some AR smartphone thing. So people, when you're having a conversation, you hold up a little smartphone.
Right.
And a little AR thing. And when they mention something, a reference to something else, in the very bottom, it explains what that reference is.
There you go. Perfect. I was going to say something about all that. What was I going to say? Yeah. I was going to say something and I don't remember. I just realized that my initials are SBJ and I really don't want the chat room to make something out of that. I just figured, it just hit me. Let's not,
right,
SBJ. Yeah. Cause the words sloppy and two other words come to mind. And I really would not want to be a sloppy.
By the way, the thing you were going to talk about that you lost your train of thought on was that you need to do more of that in your life, doing explanations of the things you bring up.
Oh, right. Yeah, I need to do that more because then people would stop sending me an out of context angry tweet or something before they knew the full context. So I'm going to do like you. And if I make a comment like Bruce Banner is gay or whatever it is you said about him being gay, then, you know, you got to go. Now, remember, everybody, in the 70s, we were afraid of gay people.
The reason I did that. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Hey, how do you feel about this whole, I don't know how much of it you know. Honestly, I don't know that much about what the response was or anything. But do you know about this Simpsons Apu freak out that everybody's having? Have you heard about this?
No, but I assume, I pretty much can guess that just a racially They're considering his impersonation to be racially insensitive, and
25 years in, we're just now.
We just realized. Wait a minute, we just realized that's insensitive.
It's a little bit insensitive. So on the one hand, you got people who are like, "What are you talking about? He's a great character with a big heart, and he's one of my favorite Simpsons characters. How can you say that's racist?" And you have others saying, "Well, it's inherently racist and was from the beginning." And it's a power differential thing. And if you really think about it, it's not a great portrayal of Indian East Indian people living in America. There's this whole, and someone even mentioned it here in the chat. There's this documentary called The Problem with Apu, which is part of why everyone's flipping out. I don't have a formed opinion on any of this yet, really, except to say that, there's a really sweet episode about him and his kids that I really like, but outside of that, I'm not really that big of an Apu. I mean, it's not like I feel like he's crucial to the show, but apparently The Simpsons had a response to this. Like on the actual episode, they kind of had a nod to what people were talking about.
Really? Which is timely for them. Usually, just because of how long it takes them to do a show,
like,
they're just now getting around to Orange Presidents being elected.
Yeah, and then and then they.
I guess in the Simpsons world, they've all been orange.
Yeah, they've been orange and yellow since the beginning. Exactly. They didn't have to do anything with Trump. Maybe a little tint, oranger. But anyway, someone in the chat says, "Don't watch that documentary before you comment too much on this." Well, no, we're going to talk about it. This is the other thing we need to stop doing in America, by the way, is everybody going, "Now be careful, walk careful." No, just talk. If I say something dumb, okay, I'll acknowledge it and work on it. If I say something right, great, we'll all learn something there too. This is the point. Everything that happens on this network, our little fledgling goofball network, is all about let's be open and talk about it.
Right, exactly. Candor.
If I step in a poop, someone will call me out and I'll go, "Oh yeah, there is poop there. I'm going to stop stepping in the poop." Like we'll learn from our experiences, but none of this like, "Oh, hush, hush now. Now let's all just not say anything. Let's all just be real quiet now." No, F that. F that. Have a conversation. Talk about what you know. Talk about where you see it from. Talk about your perspectives. That's how we do this show. All right.
Exactly.
So
grow and heal together.
So the point is that they had a response and people are all mad about the response. They think it was totally wrong. Other people are not understanding the controversy. So once again, race and racial issues, a divisive subject in this country.
But no problems with Bumblebee Man, right? I mean,
he's next.
That one, they're okay with.
He's next. I'm telling you, man. Bumblebee Man, also voiced by Hank Azaria, I believe. Yeah. Has to be next. He's right. This Mexican guy in a bee suit. How can we do this? And then who's after that? Someone else.
Well, then they'll come after Mr. Burns' ageist, right? And the portrayal of that. And Smithers, he goes to Fire Island. Making jokes about gay people, not good. And
And then we're going to get into Snake and how he's not a good stereotype for ex-convicts.
Right.
And I'm pretty
excited. Or Otto misrepresents drug-addled bus drivers. I mean, it's like, I kind of wish that we could have some sort of comedy protection, right? Where if they're not being derogatory, then doing a voice, then doing a non-negative stereotype. There's such a thing. But I mean, like, what's a good example?
Let's think of one.
The stereotype that Asians are better at math than Americans.
Sure. This is a good one because I have three Asian siblings who are all terrible at math, but go ahead.
Good. All right. See, but that's, and I know Wendy's spoken to this and the whole white privilege thing and which is perceived as the dominant of the classes making fun of the other kind of thing.
Yeah, the power differential, that whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're, I don't know, it's just, there's so much subjectivity that has to take place for somebody to be able to say, well, I was being funny, I was doing comedy, so yeah, it should be allowed. Or it was a positive thing. I was saying that Asians are good at math, and that's a good thing. I wasn't saying that Asians are bad drivers or something like that and making it a negative thing.
Right. The point, the main point for me is you being able to express that just now and have us get into it more is paramount to me. That's number one. Everything else. Now, it's one thing if I came in here and went, Chinese people are weird looking with their eyes and their whatnot. Like, that's an insensitive shithole thing to say. I think that's a clear demarcation. But for me to come in here and say, well, yeah, well, why do they have this reputation for being really good at math? Like, I want to talk about that. What is that? Where did that come from? And is it 100% whole cloth false? Is it because people are associating that with their race and not their culture? Like, maybe culturally, Asians just have better math classes than we do. And I'm pretty sure that's true, by the way, because I think we suck with math in this country.
So true, exactly.
So if East Indian folks, people from India and people from Asia are better at math, it might be they're better at education over there is all I'm saying. All right. We might be better at, I don't know, what are we good at? We're good at inventing stuff and then everyone else doing it better than we do it.
We're good at coming up with cool things, and other countries are better at making them cheaper.
Yeah. Like, we made the internet. Or here's broadband. How cool is that? Yeah, we're not going to tear all this copper out and go for it, but other countries will have the best bandwidth in the world, and it'll be super cheap.
If only there was someone out there who could make us great again. If only, right? You know?
If only. Anyway, hey, I want to give a congrats out to Tadpooler, a brand new one. Doesn't even know that she's a fan of the show yet because she's too little. But right. I want to send a big congrats out to, I'm going to say Layla, or is it Leela? How would you say that name?
It's funny. When I initially read the Facebook post, I thought it was Leia, but that I would pronounce L-E-I-L-A would be Layla.
Layla. That's what I would say as well. Layla Charlotte.
If there was no E, then it'd be Lila.
Layla Charlotte Newbold. Born 4/7/18. Big huge grats to mom and dad out there. Well done, you guys. We saw it on the Facebook tadpole, and I just thought
people are correcting us that in this case it's pronounced Leela.
Oh, Leela, like Leela from Futurama.
From Futurama,
which is a very offensive portrayal of one-eyed mutant women. Of
Cyclops women. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, look, we're going to get all kinds of... You know what I want to hear from, though? Here's what I want to hear from on the Apu thing, just to go back to that for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Actual people of Indian descent.
Eastern I would love Indian. To,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I, everyone has an opinion on this Apu thing, but most of them are white guys like me. So
what's us jury? What's jury? Is jury that? I don't know if
what he
that.
Is. We don't I'm know what kidding. He is. We still don't I'm know what he is.
He's amorphous. I like that we describe him as this... amorphous unknown origin.
Yeah, no, he really is. You could take a
and
picture.
I did say all that as a joke, people. I'm saying, like, what is that? Do we know what Jerry is?
Yeah, what is Jerry? What is his race?
It's pure joke.
If you listen, if you put a picture of Jerry up in the news and said cartel leader Emilio Escobar or whatever, right. And people just buy it, they'd go, yeah, that looks like that looks like him. What does that say about our society, people? What does that say?
Right, exactly. I found out, by the way, I haven't talked about this on the show yet. So we kind of knew, and this goes way, way back to some early episodes of TMS. It came out around Christmas time, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that my Hungarian grandmother, found out that there was some Jewish ancestry of hers. Like, oh. I think it was her parents. There was a secret hidden thing that she found out about and she never told us, like in 65 or 68 years my mom never found out, never knew about this, or I guess 70 years.
And why, what was the reason they didn't say? Did they ever say?
It just was sacrilege to, you know, back I guess in Hungary, you know, I guess for the occupation, the Russian occupation, they didn't want they wanted just to be Hungarians and that's it.
And not
shipped anywhere or moved anywhere or anything like
sure.
that.
Sure, post-World War II, Eastern Europe.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
Well, come to find out this last Christmas, My dad did some ancestry stuff of his own. So that's all on my mom's side. And that's like, we found out that I'm like 1/32nd Jewish on my mom's side.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out on my dad's side, he found out around Christmas time for through some ancestry stuff that he's 30% Jewish.
Oh my gosh.
So I really don't know how to do the math on this.
No.
Which is funny because
if we only had an Asian person here. So wait a minute. If you are only truly 3%, that means you should go get a tiny, tiny little yarmulke about this big and wear that right here on the
30%. My dad is 30%.
Oh, your dad's 30. And what were you before this? What did you think you were?
1/32nd.
Yeah, so little tiny yarmulke just got a little bigger for you is what happened there.
It did. So 3%, do I just add those? Do I say 3% plus half of 30%? Do I say I'm 18% Jewish now?
I don't know. Do you tip 15%? Do you do 20? Does it depend on the size of the party? Like all this stuff.
I don't tip anything. What, are you kidding me?
I'm Hungarian.
The soup was cold. I had to send it back twice.
I'm a Hungarian Jew. I don't tip.
If you want the boy, you're going to have to race for him. Then I will give you your freedom.
It all comes back to Watto, who we should be horribly offended by.
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Well, for many reasons.
Oh, yeah, no. Everything about his existence we should be offended. All right. Yeah. Let's also remind folks that Fleetwood Mac had a split up today. I just think this is important to know. Now, if you would have tested me under oath with a gun to my head and said, Scott, you have to get this question right. Is Fleetwood Mac still together? I would have said no. I thought they were long split forever ago.
They are such a on again, off again, split, get back together, split, get back together kind of situation. I mean, they were like even during the rumors and the chain and God, what was the album with Hold Me that came after that, Something in the Night or something like that. Anyway, I mean, they kept breaking up and getting back together, and parts would break up and other parts would get together just because the relationships in the band were all messy, right? Like John and Christine McVie split up, and he started going out with Stevie Nicks, who was Lindsey Buckingham's girlfriend. And
then at some point, Lindsey and her, weren't they married? They were
married. I don't know if they were ever married. I think they were.
They never married?
Yeah.
She was always a gold dust woman.
She was just a gypsy.
Yeah.
Tango in the Night. Thank you.
Yeah. Also very offensive, everybody. So offensive that we call her a gold dust woman. Anyway, so.
The correct term is.
So now it's for real. Like, I guess Lindsey Buckingham specifically, he's out of there.
He's fired. They fired him. They're tired of his garbage.
Really?
I think.
What did he do? What's his deal?
I don't know, but he is. He is like a brilliant, brilliant guitarist, an underappreciated, underrated guitarist. A lot of the cool stuff that you hear going on in the Rumors album is all Lindsey Buckingham. His solo stuff is so fantastic.
And Rumors is so good. Oh my gosh.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently, I'm guessing he's probably difficult to work with. I'm guessing he may be a little bit of a prima donna.
Yeah.
So,
He's a post Madonna at this point.
He's a post Madonna. So they, so they finally just gave him the axe. But I'm all right with this. You know, if they were gonna come to town, I'd probably be like, oh, how much are tickets? Yeah, no, I'm not gonna go. But did you hear who's coming in to kind of?
Well, that's why I saw this because Brian. We all know this. I think we all know this by now. But Brian's love of Crowded House and Neil Finn is legendary.
It's legendary. I mean, favorite musician of all time. If not my number one band, certainly in the top three or four, Crowded House, or anything that Neil Finn's done, solo stuff, Split Ends, all that stuff.
You love that Crowded House and that Neil Finn. Also, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Mike Campbell, is joining the tour as well for their upcoming tour. So that seems pretty good. Like, the idea of Neil Finn joining all that up there. And also, I mean, Neil Finn is the singer for Crowded House, right? Am I putting the...
He is.
Okay.
Nope, he's absolutely the lead singer. So it when seems you like hear, his hey voice, now, hey now, don't seems dream,
like,
it's over.
It seems like he could pull off the Lindsey songs that are Lindsey heavy. Do you know what
I'm
saying?
I think so. And I wonder if they would do... You know, when you get a band that brings in a special, quote-unquote, guest star, to tour with them.
Yeah.
Usually they throw them a bone and let them do one of their songs and the band backs them up. Like when we saw a few years ago, the B-52s came to town with the Violent Femmes. What a great show that was. And, but it was right around the time that Keith Wilson had passed away. Cindy Wilson's brother, Cindy Wilson, the blonde Beehive singer of the band.
Right.
And she did not go on tour with them. And so instead they brought in Julie Cruz, who's famous for doing the theme song to Twin Peaks, which is called Falling.
Not that one. That's the one. Okay.
Which actually has vocals in its Julie Cruz version, but they took out the vocals for the theme version.
This place is weird. Is that how it goes?
That's exactly right. Yes. Why does that woman have a log? Anyway, so she toured with them and basically did all the Cindy Wilson parts of the B-52 stuff. And then they said, hey, why don't you do Falling as part of the tour? And so they did. The B-52s did the theme song to Twin Peaks with Julie Cruz doing vocals.
Hmm. Wow.
So there's a little hope that, now I'm going to see it for sure. Like if they come to Colorado, yeah, we're going to go see Fleetwood freaking Mac. But there's a hope that they would do like Don't Dream It's Over as part of middle of a set or something.
That would be so cool.
Because hearing Fleetwood Mac do that, right? Like
yeah.
Hearing
Steve
McVie and Stevie Nicks doing backing vocals. And oh, how cool would that be?
I'd be into that, dude. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, just wanted to share that with folks. If you're into Fleetwood Mac. And some of you kids are like, who?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, look, one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. They're fantastic. Go listen to Rumors. Just go listen to that extended edition remastered thing that's on Spotify or Apple Music, and you will fall in love all over again with the sound of Fleetwood Mac. It's amazing.
It's so good.
And also the Dixie Chicks cover of
Landslide.
Landslide is one of the greatest things ever made.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant.
Dipsy chips, as my daughter would say. Dipsy chips.
Dipsy chips.
Also,
so racist.
I watched.
I don't know what group I'm offended, Scott, but I don't even know what group I'm offended for.
I don't know either. I'm offended for the Dipsy chips. There's a lot of controversy still all these years later for the season 3 episode of Breaking Bad that featured Walt trying to kill a fly for the entire episode. Right. I don't know why it was controversial, because at the time I remember watching it and thinking, this is an interesting episode. And then everyone was like, I hate that one. That's the worst. It's just the most filler, dumb episode ever. And I never quite agreed, but I finally got around to seeing it again because I'm doing a rewatch of Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. And I, in binge form, I think I understand. Is a bingeable show, meaning there's all the episodes are there for the taking and I can just roll one to another. I think I understand why that one feels weird, if that's how people saw the show. If you saw the show week to week, though, I think that's why it didn't bother me. Because week to week is like you consume a thing, you ruminate on it, you think about it, you roll it around on your tongue, and the next week you get a new one.
Right, whereas with binging, you're rolling right into the next episode.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things with a lot of shows like that. Like sometimes character development that seemed like it took a lot longer is compressed, because you're immediately seeing Walter White's changes over end of season 2 and beginning of season 3. It can seem a little abrupt because, again, you're binging it in a way that's, I don't know, you're just getting rapid fire stuff and you're not having that time to sort of ruminate on the episode. So I'm convinced that the reason people don't like that fly episode is because they saw it in that way. Now, that's not everybody. Somebody out there doesn't like it for other reasons, but I think it's fine. I liked it. It was like this important sort of... It was also the one time you got to see, or you started to see that Jesse kind of had a heart. I mean, Jesse's a turd sometimes, but Jesse Pinkman had a heart, and he was trying to do the right thing, and he was actually trying to help Walt in that episode.
Yeah.
And even tucked him in to sleep because he was up all night trying to kill that fly. And I don't know, there was something kind of sweet about Jesse's performance in that episode.
I need to go back and watch that. I started doing the binge watch thing too, and I could pull up Netflix and see where I left off. Mm-hmm. I remember liking that episode. I thought I remember you not liking that episode, but
mm-mm, I like it fine. I think it's good. Yeah. A lot of people don't like it, but
yeah,
I think it's fine. And then at the very next one is a pretty crucial one. I'll just say involves a car, two dudes, and a gun. And it was a big turning point for Walt's character.
Oh, that way. Was this...
You know how up till a certain point, Walt never...
Driving up into a neighborhood kind of thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know how he never actually commits the capital crime of murder? Mm-hmm. He may have done some things that led to people's deaths, but he hadn't done anything directly involved, and then suddenly he does. That's a big... It was a big moment. It's really good, though. And I don't agree... that the first season's slow. Disagree. It's really good.
Oh, yeah, no. First season, geez, felt like it was a roller coaster of...
Loved first season. Nothing wrong with first season.
Yeah.
First season's not only important, but I think there's some... I think that thing sets up tonally what the rest of the show is going to be, and it's... I think it's... The entire series is brilliant. It's really good. Now, what I'm really anxious about is when I get to the other side of all of this into season 5 and 6 or whatever the half season was called... Mm-hmm. How I'm going to feel then, because that's more recent in my memory. And also, I don't know, I feel like I'll just have a different perspective on the whole arc. So yeah. I'm anxious to get there. But anyway,
I just had to go and log into AMC and find out, when is Better Call Saul season 3 coming, huh? Or season 4, I guess.
They've been real quiet about that.
They have. Yeah.
We know they're doing it, but no one has dates.
No, it just says returning 2018. So at some point.
All right. I'm in.
They're so focused on Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead and Smell the Walking Dead and Taste the Walking Dead.
Yeah, they need to end that show. It's a cartoon now. I don't like
it. They kind of do. Yeah, and they need to end it in a way that's good. I don't know. Can you ever be happy with an ending of that show when it feels like... unless it ends with, we finally figured out a way to solve all the problems that were making us all get into little clusters and fight each other.
Yeah.
So now around the world, we'll all join hands and form a new society.
They have painted themselves into a bit of a corner that way, and I don't know how they're going to get out of it. Because if you do that, if you solve the problem, that's a problem. Because then it makes you, I don't know, it feels too easy. To me, that's almost like saying it was all a dream. Like, you can't do that. It has to be something more complicated. But that will also be unsatisfying. I don't know what the answer is. And that's why they've drug it on so long. Well, partly that, and it's a ratings monster. But, you know, I would like to see them put that business to bed, because it just feels like almost not a parody of itself so much as a... I don't know. It's hard to explain.
I mean, how many times can you see somebody getting pinned? Like, they've dropped their weapon and they're completely pinned by a walker that they're keeping at arm's length right above them. And the walker's going... with their teeth, you know, and then somebody you didn't know was right behind him jabs it in the side of the head, and the walker falls over, and then it's like, oh, help me up, and you saved my life.
Finally.
Seems like every other episode you've got that exact scene with somebody.
Yep, you've described it pretty well. Jarim says, well, it's all in the comic. No, I know. We've read the comic. I know all about the comic.
Yeah.
I know what's going on. That comic's still ongoing. So,
I did stop at about issue 100. So I think I stopped during the Negan stuff.
Yeah, 100 was the Negan scene.
The break from Negan with all the color.
Yes.
Right?
And the freak out. The one moment that freaked everybody out was issue 100.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that one. I know that's still ongoing. That comic still goes. It's also super diverged at this point. So everybody's saying, well, they'll do like in the comic. No, they've already decided not to do that. Like, Andrea in the series died. Andrea in the comic lived on forever. Virgil.
Started dating Rick.
Herschel died at his farm in the comic. And the thing, he was in the prison and all that. And it was Dale who died in the show. But in the thing, Dale lived on and had the foot bitten off and all that. Like,
there are characters we don't have a Daryl in the comics. No. Daryl is a creation for the television show. So
and perhaps the best thing still about the show is the guy, the one guy that's not in the comic. So
right.
So if the comic goes on forever, your show can't go on forever.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of TV. So at some point this thing ends, and then what do you got? I don't know.
I guess you know how they do it. They get over, like, basically they have to get over some big hurdle, kind of like what they're doing right now with the Negan thing.
Yeah.
Right? Wipe out a big kind of competing group of people who are out to kill him. They get past that, and then you have an episode or a finale bit where it talks about the future. Once we got rid of so-and-so, then we were able to finally start creating a new society. one where we are all equals and where we all shared the things that we produced for one another.
Yeah, and then have a card.
Carl finally got back in the house.
I want there to be a car that flies over a ravine, freeze frames, and the voice says, I don't know how these Duke boys are getting out of this one. And then
how
just
are
end
Rick
it.
And Daryl going to get out of this
I would love that. That's how you end it. Listen to me, AMC. We got your Perfect. Idea right here. I don't know who's running that show now, but if I have any influence at all, we have your answer. All right. Well,
turned out the solution was right under our nose the whole time.
The whole time. Boys, Duke boys are in trouble now.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
The news brought to you by...
Have a drink! I will right now. This is a special week as Brittany, Casey, Chris, and Justin finally don't talk about alcohol. Instead, they broke out the kettle and pot, which you need both items you to produce tea. Don't listen to what I said yesterday about only needing one of those things. Mm-hmm. And poured a spot of tea. It's an overview of a huge topic, and maybe it's just the caffeine, but everyone's really excited. So download the latest episode on your pod catcher or head over to twitch.tv/haveadrinkshow.
Oh, very nice. Fox News. Now listen, this isn't political what I'm about to do.
Okay, good.
Just warning people. Sure. People already know I don't like Fox News. Actually, I don't like cable news generally, so.
Yeah.
This is not a political commentary. Maybe I've just made it one.
What about Fox and Friends? Don't you like Fox and Friends?
No, I'd rather poke my head with knife.
Ice pick.
Yeah, ice pick right in my ear. No interest.
And then the walker fell over, and that person helped me up and saved my life.
Yeah, that's what they do. You know what they do? One of the walkers becomes sentient and becomes kind
of... And he says, hold on, I'll talk to my friends and have them stop eating you.
Yeah.
And we'll all move to Australia. Bye-bye.
I love it.
Set us up on a cruise ship and just sail us off to Australia. We'll never bother you again.
I love it. I love it. They just go to the giant island continent of Australia and live out there days.
It's the lore, the data and lore. So they basically have their own Borg lore that they like is sentient and that they can talk to. And
plus I like the term Borg lore.
Oh, not lore. Who was it that Data created? Or not Data created, I'm sorry. It was the Borg that became friendly.
Oh, that was Hugh.
Hugh, that's right. I'm sorry,
Hugh.
Not lore.
Was his brother.
Right, Lore was his brother, exactly.
And then he had a daughter named...
Then the one to the daughter. It really, I shouldn't have even brought up Data because he didn't have to do it.
Because there is a lot of... We could really go deep on Data's family ties.
Hugh is exactly what I'm thinking of. Like they have their own Hugh that they can send back into the zombie world and say, hold on, everybody.
Yeah.
We don't want brains.
I think Hugh
We want turnips.
Is Australia known for its turnip crops? And
turnips, yeah. We put them on everything down there.
Okay.
We'll make turnip pizza. We make turnip burgers.
Turnip.
Oh, just like a whole fridge full of turnips.
It's Australia for turnip.
Grill them. Yeah, put them on the grill. We don't call it a barbie. We call it a grill. You put some turnips on the barbie. That's silly.
Grilled turnips. Ugh, that sounds bad.
All right.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, Fox News.
What did Fox News do, Scott?
This is pretty funny. They accidentally broadcast a graphic showing that they are the least trusted news network. So this is kind of awesome. They displayed the Monmouth University poll results during its tight. Oh, is it Monmouth? Is that what I said? Yeah, what did I say? Monmouth?
Yeah.
Monmouth University results on the Tight Shot show. There's a show on there, I guess, called The Tight Shot.
Okay.
With less than a third of Americans trusting it more than President Trump, Mother let transgender son 6 live as a girl by compare. Oh, this must have been some other link in there.
Yeah, when you copied, probably was a photo.
I hate that. By comparison, almost all of American, or half of Americans rather, trusted CNN, the president's most hated news audience or news source, more than him. And 45% of the people questioned said they trusted CNBC more than the commander in chief. Blunder appeared to spark minor panic in the studio. Presenter Howard Kurtz said, this is not the graphic we're looking for. Hold off. Take that down, please. he's not been... That's an exact quote, by the way. I wasn't Yes. Making that up.
Take it down.
Take it down. Take it. Please take that down. He has been expecting to see. He expected to see statistics showing that over 3/4 of the public thought that the media reports fake news regularly and occasionally, or occasionally. The Rupert Murdoch-owned network is famous for its right-wing stance, support of President Trump, blah, blah, blah. We all know that. I'm going to show you guys the graphic here in the chat so you guys can see it.
It's really funny.
Yeah, so it says right here, who do you trust more? And then the network column, you had CNN at 48, MSNBC 45, and Fox News at 30. And they showed that. Well done, guys. Well done.
But I don't know what the, what does the Trump column represent?
That's,
is that how much people trust Trump, or is that how much Trump trusts those networks?
What?
Well, I guess the number for Fox News would be a lot higher if that was how much Trump trusted the networks.
So. I guess so. I don't understand what that means. 45% of the people said they trusted.
Got to be, well, yeah, because it can't be approved.
More than. So this is like they trust CNN more than they trust Trump. They trust MS. This is the same group, and they're and the quiz. The quiz thing is, what networks do you trust the most or least?
Right.
And then, I don't know how the that doesn't make sense.
Wouldn't the number for I feel like the number for Fox News then would be, or the number for Trump next to Fox News would be higher if it was how much people trusted. So those 30% who trust Fox News probably would trust Trump a lot more than the ones that watch MSNBC and CNN.
This is a bad chart. Honestly, it's a bad chart.
Somebody did not know how to use Keynote to do this.
Someone at Mon Moth University needs to rethink their Mon Mothma University. Fix your shit. All right. I swore again. Not to swear as much. There's that. How about this one?
Okay.
A woman claimed to police that wind blew cocaine into her purse.
Oh, no. And later on that day, it was probably going to blow it right up into her nose, too, that damn wind.
Authorities say a Florida woman is blaming a windy day for the cocaine police found in her purse. WPLG reports Kinesia
is how I would say that.
All right. Her last name, Posey, was one of two passengers in a car stopped by Fort Pierce police in late March. Police say an officer smelled marijuana and that after searching the car. Cocaine and marijuana in separate bags. They were found inside of her purse that was on her lap. Authorities say they questioned her about the drugs. According to police report, she responded, quote, "It's a windy day. It must have flown in through the window into my purse." She was charged with a felony count of cocaine possession, a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession. She was later released on bond. It wasn't immediately known if she had a lawyer or a brain.
Yes, Kinesia.
Yeah. That seems like a weird excuse. I mean, I'm all for weird cop excuses because they're funny.
Yeah.
But that one, how does that work? How do you say something?
All I can do is visualize an 80s children's show or Nickelodeon trick where they would have something blow out of a purse and they'd film it and then they would reverse the video so it looked like whatever was blowing, like when Jeannie would come out of the bottle on A Dream of Jeannie and that puff of smoke, but then when she'd go back into the bottle, it'd be like, and all the smoke would go back into the bottle and then the lid would go back on.
Right.
That's what I'm visualizing here. A whole bunch of cocaine going into the purse and then the purse zipping up.
I used to like that effect, but it was just in reverse, wasn't it?
It was just in reverse, yeah.
Yeah, why did I think that was cool when I was a kid? I thought that was cool. And I also thought
it was putting the Jeannie back into the bottle, which we've always been told is impossible.
Yeah, you can't put the Jeannie back in the bottle. Like if I come out and go, here's how I made this. Well, Jeannie's out of the bottle.
Exactly. You can't put that Jeannie back in the bottle. You can only put her back in the chat room, but not in the bottle.
That's right. FBI has all my files. Can't put that Jeannie back in the bottle. My underwear is soiled. Can't put that Jeannie back in the bottle.
That's right. You can't unring that bell.
Nope. What else here? Oh, here's a good one. This will really make you happy. Microplastics have been found in 93% of bottled water tested in the global study. 93%.
You know what the future is, Scott? You want to know what the future is? One word for you. Okay. Microplastics.
Really, I should invest in microplastics, you're saying.
Invest in microplastics. Yeah. One word for you. Microplastics.
Because look at that, 93%. That means if I go crack open a bottle of, I don't know, what do I have over here? Kirkland brand.
Dasani? Oh, Kirkland.
Kirkland's pretty
Costco
scary.
Costco in there. Rigorous safety controls.
Well, they have the same.
They make that right next to the blue jeans.
I can get chili and toilet paper. Think about it. But they have so I noticed, by the way, I got some Kroger water too recently, and it's exactly the same bottle, exactly the same size, cuts, all that stuff, just different label. So they're all making it in the same place. But the bottled water industry is estimated to be worth nearly $200 billion a year. That is incredible. That surpassed sugary sodas as the most popular beverage in many countries. It is perceived,
probably not ours.
It is perceived as the image of cleanliness and purity, and is now being challenged by a global investigation that found that water tested is often contaminated with tiny plastic particles. Let's see here. The research conducted on behalf of Orb Media. You remember Orb? No, I was thinking of the band Orbital. I used to like Orbital.
Oh, yeah. Well, then there's also the Orb.
Oh, was there? Wait.
It was a band called the Orb. They were the ones who did the clouds. What was it? The little fluffy clouds. The one with Joni Mitchell talking about the skies were beautiful when I was growing up in Arizona.
Little fluffy clouds.
We had the most beautiful clouds.
Little fluffy clouds.
Purple and orange and green. And
I remember that. They should redo that with Bob Ross, the painter. You know what I mean?
I love that idea. Why like a cover of Little Fluffy Clouds with Bob Ross.
Why doesn't somebody do that? That seems stupid easy for someone to have thought of it done already. Maybe it already have. Maybe that exists.
Yeah. I love the idea.
What is it? Rule 47? What is it?
Well, Rule 47 means doing with porn, doesn't it?
Maybe you're right. Well, no. I thought Rule 47 was just anything you can think of is on the internet. Isn't that the deal?
I think the extension of that is anything you can think of is on the internet and it's been turned into porn.
Hold on. What's this? It's not even 47. Hold on. Rule. Is it 40? 37, maybe.
I'm trying to see if I've ever played. Oh, I'm going to have to. I'm totally adding this to a future episode.
Oh, Rule 34. We got the number all wrong. Okay, there it is. Rule 34, generally accepted internet rule that states, you're right, pornography or sexually related materials exist for any conceivable subject. Additionally, it is accepted that the rule itself has limitations, so you cannot be too specific for the context of the item in question. So I thought, that's interesting, I thought Rule 34 meant anything on the internet was available. So if I made a joke about, hey, my SNES controller has a booger on it, that I would find
somebody
referencing that.
Somebody already has that as a website, booger and SNES. .com.
Right. And it does, and a lot of sites are saying that this is internet in general and not just porn, but the core definitions appear to be porn related. So that's great. Mm-hmm. Good job, internet. Good job.
Anyway. At some point this week, I do have a cover of that song by The Orb, the Little Fluffy Clouds. And it's not with Bob Ross, but it is with somebody else. And at some point this week, it'll be our closing cover.
Sweet. Yes. I love it. Okay. I love it. I love how we got here. I
love this version.
All right. Final point about microplastics in your water is I would ask Brian, I wanted to ask you the question, does this curtail your consumption of, if someone handed you a bottled water, would you go, okay, I don't know if I should, because this has
I mean the fact that it contains, like, what they don't tell us is they say 93% contains some sort of microplastic, but it doesn't say how much microplastic, and it doesn't say what that, you know, is it can it ever be good to eat plastic? Probably not. But I mean, how bad, what's a bad amount of microplastic to eat?
Because we're
percentage that I need to stay away from.
Exactly. We know what some human limitations are as far as what we breathe, and you know, so there is probably, they don't get into that at all in this article. The study might, but the article doesn't. So that's a really good point. By the way, the 11 brands they tested include the world's dominant players: Nestle Pure Life, Aquafina, Dasani, Evian, San Pellegrino, and Gerald Steiner. Never heard of that one. As well as major brands across Asia, Africa, Europe, and the Americas, researchers found 93% of all the bottles tested contained some sort of microplastic, including polypropylene, polyesterine, polystyrene, nylon. Oh, hell. That's good. Get a little nylon in your diet. Anyway, so there you go. Be wary and drink out of your tap is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Jeez.
That's going to do it for that whole deal. Let's take a break. When we come back, it will be time for a little call now. I'm going to flash the number up. Write this number down, folks. 801-285-9395. And after the break, we'll take your calls before we get Jerry in here, where he'll be talking. Well, I'm making him talk about this search and seizure thing of Trump's lawyer. Cool. I just want to know more what's going on because I'm dumb. So that's that. Yeah. Let's take a break, though. You got music? What do you got there?
I have music, and we're going blues, just straight ahead rockin' blues. Brand new album coming out by a guy named Papa Satch, named Soulful, or the album is called Soulful Intent. We've actually played Papa Satch on the show before, and people loved it. The brand new album, got some new music to play for you, finally. Sweet. This is the song Say What You Mean, coming out on the, again, album Soulful Intent. This guy is from New York. Whereabouts in New York? Let me tell you, Valley Stream, New York. And big fan of the Beatles and Tom Petty, and takes his influences from there. Got a little bit of rock, blues, and country all kind of mixed together here. Here is the song Say What You Mean by Papa Satch.
Even though you can't seem to find them, even though you just can't tell, even though the words are behind you, you've got to sell. Even though you gotta remind you, even if it rings a bell, sometimes you gotta design you, that's the cards you're dealt. I know it's hard to unwind them, you just gotta see. Bonnet, you've just gotta stay. Even though the sun keeps on shining, even though the moon is low, even though you have to remind you, that's the part of the show.
June Lockhart, and I've served a lot of fried chicken to my family, but fried chicken can be a little greasy. That's why I'm so happy with Shake and Bake. No frying, so your chicken comes out crispy, but not greasy like fried chicken. You can really taste the difference. Crispy, but not greasy like fried chicken. Shake and Bake. It's better than frying.
Follow the yellow brick road.
This is the morning stream. Shut up, baby, I know it.
Okay, speaking of this, by the way, this right here.
Follow the yellow brick road.
I didn't know. Apparently the little dudes that were the Lollipop Guild.
The Munchkins.
Apparently, what's her name before she died? Can't think of her name.
Judy Garland?
Thank you. Judy Garland claimed that that particular group of three small people repeatedly molested her on the set and behind the scenes and just while production of that movie was going. And nobody ever did jack about it. Like, nothing ever got done.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But that is, we found this because Tom and I were going through, we did this movie for our 100 Best Films thing. And there was this huge bit about that. And then I found a bunch of like recent articles saying Despite the fact that everyone involved is passed on, this deserves unearthing so we can get to the truth or whatever. So some people are still even talking about it. So anyway, it's kind of...
Well, if we get to the point where every movie, we realize that every movie ever had somebody who sexually harassed somebody else in it, then finally I can start recommending Baby Driver again.
Yeah, you can get it back, come all the way back around.
Exactly.
And
build it, yeah. When all of the movies are bad... Then none of the movies are bad. No, I don't know how that works.
How does that work? If everyone's super powered, then no one has superpowers.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Or whatever syndrome said. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Syndrome.
I'm so excited about Incredibles 2.
Yeah, I know there was a trailer for that that just came out. I haven't watched it yet, but I will.
Yeah.
Because it's early. It's an early trailer.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Call now.
All right. Your chance to call now. We're going to take your calls here for a minute before we bring Jerry in. 801-285-9395. That's 801-285-9395. We'll take your calls, answer your questions, your thoughts, your comments, your whatevers. You can talk about stuff we talked about on the show today. If you want to tell us why you think, I don't know, whatever. If you think Apu is horribly racist and has been since 1989, tell us why. If you think...
You want to yell at me for saying that you can make tea with only a pot or a kettle, but not both?
Or if you want to be mad at me for saying both instead of both, whatever right. You want. Yes. Codes for Home says, can I still watch 7 in the chat room? Well, that's a weird question, but you should call that in.
It's because I said Baby Driver because of Kevin Spacey. So he's wondering if he can still watch the movie 7.
Oh, now here's a good twist on that. Can you watch movies where the person, the hideous
where
sexual
the, where
predator
the dick is, actually plays a dick,
yeah, where he's like the villain. can they be horrible villains? Because isn't he a villain in Baby Driver too? Is all
he's kind of a he's without giving anything away, he's kind of a jerk, but also kind of a redeeming character.
Okay. So
and you don't want to see that.
He finds his yellow brick road or whatever that means.
Dunaway says yes because in 7 he's trash. Yep, very good, Brandon.
Yeah, Dunaway. He is trash there. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey guys, it's Ian.
Hey Ian, what's going on? Hey, I am Sci-Fi. How are you?
Not too much. I might as well put my 2 cents in on the whole Apu thing just because.
Please do. Yeah.
There are very few episodes. Yeah, because there's very few episodes of The Simpsons that I've missed since 1989. I remember sitting down with my parents. That first Christmas episode.
Yep.
And wow. Really haven't missed many since. I think that there are two ways they could have gone with this. One is being respectful of people's reasonings as to why Apu may not be as respectful a character as he may have been when the show started and when, you know, humor was different and when times were different.
Sure.
And saying, okay, we get it, times change. We can try and make a better Apu.
Yeah.
And maybe even help get a couple of writers in there to help them out. I mean, hell, you probably could have even gotten Harry Kondalou, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name, to come in there and, you know, consult if they really wanted to.
Sure.
That's the other way was to go the way they did.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I kind of, I think I agree with you on that. I think that may have been the better take. And they didn't have to, and by the way, they didn't have to make it part of the show. Like, they didn't have to make their statement on an episode the way that they did. And I find that kind of bothersome. I suspect what'll end up happening, because there's clearly enough backlash for this to cause further conversation. I'm thinking they're probably going to come forward and apologize for the way they handled it or something, but it would have been much better for them to say, yeah, times change, you know, like a lot of things, and it's certainly in entertainment, when those times change, we should probably change with it, and or at the very least acknowledge that those times have changed. And there's probably a way, like, I've always felt like, despite the obvious stereotypes, and there are definitely stereotypes with Apu, I've always felt like they've handled him as time has gone on, he became less and less of this two-dimensional character that ran a quickie mart and became more and more of a fleshed-out character that had a family or had his own episodes or had, you know, the focus thrown on him in a way that wasn't necessarily just, oh, it's just the two-note of he's Indian and he owns a quickie mart and he talks funny.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So they could have gone, I think they could have gone your way, the suggestion you're making, and I'm not entirely sure why they didn't. Maybe they just felt defensive about it. It probably
they were definitely being overly defensive, and I'm not sure if it was the entire writers' room or if it was just the most vocal of them that came out and decided that this had to be the way they go. It felt like, I don't know, it felt more responsive as opposed to actually being
like reactive.
Making sense.
Yeah.
Reactive. Yeah, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, and the fact that also, I don't know if anyone's seen the scene, but the scene that we're talking about is a Lisa scene. And chat room's talking about it, so I may as well mention it. Rillian mentions it. Lisa would have been the first person, and has been in the past, the first person to come to the defense of anyone who is being stereotyped. Like, that's Lisa's job on the show, is to sort of be this conscience. And Homer's an idiot, and Bart's a rascal. I mean, everyone's got their job, right? And Lisa's was always to sort of call out this sort of stuff. And the fact that they wedged in the scene of defiance and it involves Lisa is also really plays against who Lisa is. So that part bugged me more than anything, because it feels like it's not her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's too easy for some people to say, I stopped watching in 98. That's okay, great. I don't care. The point is, the show's been around long enough. There is still has a giant following. The ratings are still good. Like, there's a reason it exists beyond your normal 5, 6, 7 year run of a television show. So, credit where credit's due. It'll be interesting to see if this goes all the way to Matt Groening coming out and having to say something.
I mean, come on, you're talking to a guy who regularly quotes what some people call one of the worst episodes of The Simpsons, the episode where they go to Israel. And there's one line in it, no crotch, no Krav Maga. And that line gets quoted in between me and my friends all the freaking time because it's just so true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And that is a bad episode. You're right. It's not good. I don't mean from it's not a racially insensitive one or a culturally insensitive. It's just dumb. It's just a bad episode.
Yeah.
Now, the one where they go to Japan, that one rocks. That's a great episode.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, one of the best ever. You like a Mr. Sparkle? Anyway, that's a little racist, too. See, I am sci-fi.
Right? It's everywhere.
It happened again. What can you do? Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello, this is William Madison.
Well, hello, William Madison. How are you? Hello. I heard like a truck backing up or something. Everything, you're good, right? Don't have to worry about a truck.
I am... okay. Yeah, I've got construction going on outside my apartment. The city is redoing my entire street, apparently.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, always a good time for construction. Like my power outage that happened yesterday. I didn't even talk about that.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Power went out right in the middle of my art stream. Or in the middle, it was toward the end. But it went out for like 45 minutes, almost an hour. That's never happened. It's the second power outage I've had since I've moved here. And the whole valley, apparently, the high school was down. Like, this whole end of the valley was just out. And I think some construction guy hit something bad. And that happens.
Oh,
so in your case, I hope that doesn't happen. And all you suffer from is just a little bit of beep, beep, beep in the background.
Yep, exactly.
Anyway, what's on your mind?
So I had a question for you guys. I have a interview with a journalist tomorrow She wants to do a profile on me as a blind real estate agent.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, what is your guys' opinion on presenting a authentic story compared to a puff piece?
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
On your, like, on her part or on yours? Like, in other words, are you talking about giving her the answers you think that she wants for the puff piece?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Because
wow,
she wants a profile, but you know, it's also supposed to be she writes more feel good stories to kind of offset the negative within the Hillsborough Tribune and
sure. Okay, I was gonna ask that. Is this for TV? Is this for paper? It sounds like it's for paper.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If it were me, I totally get where you're coming from. I would sort of play it by ear, but you know, kind of see what questions she has and maybe some of your answers could subvert the fluffy and give her a broader, I mean, if I was to read this article, I'd be very interested in just the article in general. It sounds, I'd love to hear more about your story. So that's already interesting. I think they're right to be coming to you for this. But if all she wants to do is go, isn't he just amazing? Like if that's the whole point of this, then I think they miss an opportunity to just to get into why it's harder or why it's difficult or what kind of stuff you have to get over to do it. It can still be feel good, but I want to kind of hear the nitty and the gritty, mm-hmm. you know?
Okay.
So I don't know how to force that. It's hard to force that if she controls the conversation, but
I think you, I mean, you just basically, the best thing for you to do is just offer, answer her questions in the most truthful and honest way and let her either just pull what she wants to pull out of the puff for a puff piece or maybe go a little bit deeper, you know, but don't let what you think she wants you to do, wants you to say, affect what you say. I think just give the interview, give a you know, an honest, truthful interview. And if she doesn't have enough material to make a puff piece out of it, then whatever. But at least you were true to yourself.
Yep. Go for it, though, and okay. send us a link when this goes up. I want to read it.
For sure, yeah. Yeah.
Assuming okay. they put it online.
And figure out a way to work the Meatrop Stollops.
Yeah, get that
well.
In there. Meatrop Stollops
yes, absolutely.
Fart gas if you have
just
to.
Just randomly at the end.
Yeah, at the end, just go fart gas and then hang up on her and see what happens.
Or the phrase too much hassle. Yeah. If you need something easy.
Yeah, too much hassle is always good. All right. Thanks for your calls, everybody.
That's great.
Yeah. I've enjoyed this session of.
Call now.
We'll now enjoy the presence of a legend.
Right.
In his own
a
mind.
Podcasting powerhouse. Dynamo, I think, is the appropriate term.
Is that the right word?
He is a podcasting dynamo.
All right. Well, we don't want to be racially
insensitive.
Or a dymo
labeler. A podcasting dymo labeler.
Justin's racially ambiguous.
Ambiguous.
I mean, look, he's probably like a lot of us. He's some mix of 10 things. Who knows?
Right, exactly.
What is race anyway? Jeannie made a good point in the chat room. She's like, when we say things like, I don't know, what'd she say earlier? Something like percentage of people or how much percentage of something you are. That's like the most racist thing we've said today.
Sure.
Because right. Who cares?
I'm Brit Jugarian.
Yeah. Yeah, who cares? We're just who we are. All right, let's get Justin in.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the program one Justin Robert Young. Hello, Justin, all the way from O-Town or Oaktown?
It's Oaktown. No, O-Town is Orlando.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
And they even had a boy band to help you remember that.
Named O-Town because Orlando was the font of all boy bands.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
I think you're... is it me or is his speakers? I'm hearing his speakers. Are you hearing his speakers? I'm hearing me. That's weird. I'm hearing myself.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah. Because when he's not making any noise and you do that, I see the little green thing light up for him.
Yeah, I think we're hearing your deal there.
Highly likely. I don't know exactly how much we're going to be able to do about it, though.
I love it. All right, here we go. I'm looking forward to it.
Discord will figure it out. And it's so faint, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's fine. Chat room, just so you know, you're going to, this is what you're getting.
Find something else to needle about, would you?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. Here, I can kind of turn you guys down a little bit.
If only
it's not the speakers. It's the fact that the audio is running back through the board.
Oh. I don't hear it as much now. It's still barely, but anyway. Hey, check this out. It's Justin Robert Young, everybody. Comes on the show on Tuesdays, talks about cool stuff, and he's been very nice to adhere to our new schedule and show up a little bit early, and we really appreciate that. And we got to get right to it here. The thing we want to talk to you about, without exception, I think, is the apparently lawful yet controversial raid of Donald Trump's personal lawyer's office in Rockefeller Center, New York, and getting a bunch of papers and the hoo-ha together for potential criminal charges against him. Not a order that was actually ordered from the Mueller team, but ordered from a New York state attorney who Trump appointed because they think they got stuff on this guy. And now Trump, of course, yelling witch hunt and, you know, attorney-client privilege, all this stuff. So I'm just curious, from our politics host and our resident political correspondent on the street, Justin Robert Young, your take on all this and whether it means anything at all, or is this yet again just a bunch of noise and tomorrow no one will care?
No. I mean, this is a shit just got real kind of moment, specifically in that there... And we're going to see a lot more of how this shakes out. But according to what we know now, it was on the recommendation of Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, to have the New York office of the FBI, and I think the prosecutor in the FBI, issue a warrant. And apparently, or not apparently, you do need, and I'm sure somebody with a law degree can probably speak more to this, the threshold to get a warrant to seize information that would violate attorney-client privilege is high. Like, you need to have kind of exactly what you need and why you would never get it any other way to issue that kind of warrant.
They have a, there's a term for it. It's, let me find it. I have it right here. It is called crime slash fraud exemption. And the idea is, and again, I am zero lawyer, so this is just from me reading about it today. The idea is that if you, for example, if somebody, we'll use Walter White as an example, him and Saul Goodman. If people, their conversations were protected by attorney-client privilege. However, if there was sufficient evidence or suspicion to show that further crime and or fraud were being perpetrated by their secret conversations, that essentially voided their attorney-client privilege. You can't just not say anything because you're an attorney-client if you are perpetrating some sort of crime, is the idea.
Sure. And I'm less interested in that and more interested in what the thresholds need to be for law enforcement to clear, because that's the principle by which you would try for something. But I think there's also, or from my research, and by research, I mean reading like three articles today, that you need to basically prove that there's no other way that you can get this information, and that information, by the best of your knowledge, and that's got to be a pretty high bar to clear, is definitely there.
Right.
And so that's, you know, I think the big thing there. So going forward, what's going to be interesting is to see either through the FBI's investigation feeding back into the Mueller investigation, or the Mueller investigation leading the FBI, whether or not Michael Cohen's antics with Stormy Daniels is now a part of this probe, the ever-expanding. And there's one thing that we have learned in American history is that special prosecutors, much like the universe, are constantly expanding in their scope.
Right.
So...
Right, because didn't, like, Mike Starr, not Mike Starr, he's an actor.
Ken Starr's
original investigation was about a land deal gone south in literally the South with the Clintons and others, and it eventually turned into a blue dress and lying about having sex with her. The same thing could be said about other cases where, you know, like Al Capone, to get him on tax evasion, not only all the crime stuff.
That wasn't a special prosecutor.
No, it wasn't. But the idea being that you start with one thing and often it leads to stuff that has nothing to do with it.
I would only separate the Al Capone thing because that's a different kind of beast. And I do think that the Ken Starr thing is applicable here, because what you have is a special prosecutor who does not exactly have a deadline for any of this stuff. That at its most critical, people tend to believe that, you know, if there is a special prosecutor that continues to evolve in their scope, that this becomes a witch hunt, and eventually you're going to get somebody on tearing a mattress tag off, you know, and that's going to be a big thing.
Right.
So it is a double-edged sword. If what you want is for Donald Trump to get impeached, remember also that it was as the Clinton special prosecutor, Ken Starr, got into more of the tawdry stuff, that public opinion began to harden in favor of Bill Clinton.
Right.
Because it became, all right, come on. Like, if he didn't do something illegal and he just, you know, got a sexual favor from an intern, that's not what we're here for. Let the man breathe, right?
Yeah.
So, what'll be curious is if this does start to go more into the tawdry, did Donald Trump have sex with Stormy Daniels thing, and did he pay her off in the latter elements of the election, and less about Russian interference in, you know, the mechanics of American democracy, whether or not that might harden public opinion more in favor of Donald Trump.
Well, the Clinton difference was he's
he denied it. The difference here is that he, who gives a crap about the sex part? Like, we know Donald Trump has sex with pretty much anything that has a hole in it, I'm thinking. And I mean, I don't know, but at least, you know, he's famous for it. So that's not the problem. The problem is that 130K potentially. And
but even that, it's like, that's what we're really talking about. I mean, that's an FEC fine, usually. Like, those things are not, I mean, yes, it's illegal. And yes, there the punishment as our system has set it up is, you know, something that takes a million years to take care of. And then it's usually a monetary fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even, it's what's interesting in this particular case is I thought I would find myself after an event like this going, yeah, dude, take down his orange ass and put it, you know, whatever. But I didn't, yeah. I'm not really having that. I'm having more of a, I'm very curious about the process. Like, I want
to
know.
And I think that's what I'm talking about when it comes to public opinion.
Right.
Is that if this was storming, getting a warrant to find, you know, some Russian lawyer that also was golfing with Donald Trump every day, I think it would be a different story. Whereas with the Stormy Daniels thing, I don't know. You know, it's unless you are really dialed into it, I almost think that this is not something that necessarily helps the public, the court of public opinion for Trump. And ultimately, if you're talking about impeachment, and this is, since impeachment is something that needs to be a vote in Congress, it will be a political decision where the people that are making the vote are going to look at public opinion and determine whether or not it's going to be a popular or unpopular decision. And that's what happened with Clinton. If it got that far, and let's say we have a blue wave that sweeps through Congress, almost more likely the House, possibly the Senate, it will still be a question of exactly how they can put together a coalition to push for something.
Right. Well, I find it fascinating. He seemed to be a little panicked with his follow-up tweets and comments.
Oh, he's furious. I mean, he went and talked to people about it in a press conference yesterday. Got right back up in Sessions for recusing himself. Attacked Rosenstein from the FBI. Dude was all up in his feelings last year.
Sure, yesterday. Sure doesn't like all these Republicans that he hired. Sure, not into those guys.
But here's the thing: people keep saying that. Let's not forget that Republicans hate him, and establishment Republicans hate him. Like he was an unpopular person in his own party. When I was at the Republican National Convention last year, a large contingent of people were there very upset, if not resigned, that he was becoming the nominee. So whenever anybody's like, oh, well, this person's a Republican. Yeah, that makes that to me, at least as somebody who has followed this, means nothing in terms of whether or not they like him or dislike him or feel any kind of loyalty to him.
Right. Right. Which is why he freaks out and gets so pissed, because loyalty is everything for him. But the other thing I was going to say about that, some people are pointing to his comment at the start of that cabinet meeting where he launched into his little tirade about it all. He said, you know, he makes these allusions like, many people are saying I should fire Mueller, and I'm thinking about this. I don't, who knows what will happen, but many people, his whole many people thing. And then he says, how did he put it? He says, I've been trying to keep this thing down. Now, some are interpreting that as him saying, I'm obstructing justice. like literally trying to keep this thing down means I'm admitting to obstructing justice. And others are saying, that are more supportive of his point of view, are saying, well, no, what he means is he's trying to keep it on the low while we deal with the real problems of America and not have this be a distraction. Do you think there's anything to that idea? Like, again, you and I, none of us are legal experts, but can a statement like that be taken and then said to be an admission that you're trying to keep this down, that you're trying to keep it all down, or what? What's your take on that?
What is even the question?
Well,
Can him using the phrase "keep it all down" be used against him in a court of law?
Yeah,
I think I think he meant he's keeping it root down, like his favorite Beastie Boys.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Wish you would have said it. He's going to turn it down for what?
Yeah. I had not heard that quote. I would have, having you said it, I would assume he means I'm trying not to be a wild idiot on literally every update on this, so as to show some modicum of discipline. But I don't think that that is tantamount to I'm obstructing. I don't think that that is a synonym that he accidentally just said. I'm obstructing. I mean, I'm oblong to justice.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I tend to agree. There are some people flipping out that that's what he did, and I tend to agree with you that that's he doesn't. He's not good at talking anyway. I mean, let's just be honest about it. So. The idea that he's got some subtle language for admitting this, that he's so smart about it. He's like, I've narrowly
watch me work this in a conversation, and those chumps will have no idea what they just heard.
But also, why would he want to like say anything like that? I don't know. The bigger thing here is there's going to come a point where he's going to have to talk to Robert Mueller. If the idea that he has paid off Stormy Daniels, which is still a matter of a legal wrangling between Stormy Daniels and her attorney and Donald Trump and Michael Cohen on whether or not the deal was between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump or Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels. That kind of remains to be seen. But if there are elements of that the FBI now have in their possession, and so therefore Robert Mueller knows about it, and he is asking Donald Trump under oath questions that he now knows for a fact are contradictory to things that he has said publicly.
Yeah.
That to me is kind of, that's always been the larger idea here, is that now you can get him on perjury if he fucks up and says it.
Right. Cause he said, I don't know about it the other day in the plane. And now they may find a bunch of stuff that says he knew all about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And lying to the press, not a crime.
No, but lying. Yeah. Exactly. Well, all right then. I mean, maybe when he said I'm trying to keep it down, he meant his wiener. Maybe he meant his wiener.
Doing his best.
I don't think that's the case.
I'm trying to keep this wild stallion in the barn. Yeah. Unsuccessfully. It runs free like a Clydesdale in a Budweiser ad. Galloping through the plains.
It's a huge disaster. Trump's
gotta get his.
Yeah. Huge disaster.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I got like a nature documentary.
Yeah. Right. It's got his own.
Many people have said to me that their anaconda don't want none, lest they got buns hun.
Here we see the president's penis, ready.
Yeah, galloping majestically, yeah. like a calendar on the dressage.
Well, it is an interesting set of events. We'll see how it all plays out. This is one of the many reasons I like having you on the show, because you have thoughts and feelings about this sort of thing, and we can sort of discuss them. There's also a great way to do that on a little show we make called Unfriend Me, which is happening today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 12 noon the Pacific time. If y'all are interested in coming back and checking it out, Justin, what's on the plate today?
We are talking about the drinking age, the age that you can legally drink in America. Well, we'll touch a little bit on how things go around the world and how other people handle drinking ages and drinking limitations, just kind of in general. But we're going to spend the most of the time talking about how things have changed here in the good old US of A, and specifically what we think about it. This has been a fairly controversial law throughout modern history, like the last 50 years. It's been fairly volatile, and there are a lot of different points of view on it, even though now it's kind of settled. Like, I mean, I grew up my entire life without there being much argument on it, except for, you know, adults remembering fondly that it was different when they were kids. But we will talk all about it, the drinking age on Unfriend Me, as well as your emails about the death penalty.
Yeah, oh yeah, because we that was an interesting conversation last week, so there'll be follow-up on that. I'm looking forward to it. I know others are. That's if you want to find details on when and why and how and how to get the show and you haven't heard of it before, go to frogpants.com/unfriendme. Justin, anything else you want to pimp, push, or otherwise inform us about?
Yeah, go head on over to tinyletter.com/JustinRobertYoung, and you will get a free newsletter 5 days a week talking about politics, stories that I enjoy. We talked or we had links to all the stuff about this, the topics that we talked about today, as well as the revelation in a GQ feature that rapper Cardi B, one of the, probably the hottest in the game right now, presidential fact nerd.
Well,
she loves presidential facts and can name a fact about every president.
Whoa.
She makes money moves is what I hear.
That's what I've heard.
Tell you what, she, as well as knowing that she did screw up a little bit in the article because she said James Buchanan was the only bachelor when him and Grover Cleveland are. But she endeared herself to my heart tremendously in knowing as much as she knew about presidents. So you can find that link.
That's cool.
When you subscribe to my newsletter for free.
That's awesome.
Tinyletter.com/JustinRobertYoung 5 days a week.
Awesome. Justin, we love you. Goodbye. All right. Someone's banging on my door. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go find out what that is.
If only you had a Ring doorbell, you could look and you could even answer it and say, hi, what do you need?
I know. That's what I should do. I'm going to go see what this is. I need to that. Why don't I do that? All right. Oh, okay. Hey, we're back. Look at us. It's like we never left. I'm all winded. That shouldn't make me winded to run upstairs like that.
No, but you know.
Getting fat and old.
Just happens.
That's all right. Hey, thanks, Jerry. That was fun.
Yeah.
The video people got a bunch of extra but I don't even know how that went.
Yeah, I know. You know, I did an AMA in the chat room, so they asked about worst Vegas casino and where my love of music came from and breakfast, like good breakfast in Vegas.
What's your least favorite casino? I've never heard this.
Probably Circus Circus.
Oh.
The sad thing is they've got one of the best steakhouses on the Strip.
Yeah.
But
How would anyone ever know that? That's crazy.
I know. It is really tucked in a casino whose theme is clowns and sadness. Yeah. Basically is what it is. It's
I need to try that maybe.
I know. Maybe we do that.
Yeah.
That's another thing we try to wedge into this damn packed trip.
Yeah. I don't know the last time. I was probably a kid last time I went to Circus Circus. It's been ages, so.
Yeah. I was a kid. Not the last time. But that was where my grandparents took me when I was 15, and we went to, I would stay with them in California for 2 weeks. And then one year we decided to do a trip to Las Vegas and the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like a multi-leg trip. And we stayed in the, if you've got a minute for a story, this is actually kind of funny.
All right, do it.
We stayed at the Stardust. But they decided to take me over to Circus Circus because there was a level where you could play video games and do carnival games and stuff while they went and gambled and played bingo. And my grandfather said, well, I want Brian to see a good Vegas show. And I know he likes magic and I know he likes comedy. And at the Hilton, we've got Bill Cosby and Doug Henning playing together. And I want to take Brian to that show. So my grandfather arranged to get tickets for the show at the Hilton. And we walk in there and we sit down and we've got like, just remember these seats. We're kind of looking at the stage and all of a sudden a whole row of topless women come out and start dancing.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And I look over at my grandfather and he's got this panicked look on his face and my grandmother is just staring daggers into him. And at that point he realized that there's the Flamingo Hilton and then the Las Vegas Hilton. And Doug Henning and Bill Cosby were playing at the Las Vegas Hilton, and we were at the Jubilee show at the Flamingo Hilton with boobs.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So, yeah.
This is vaguely familiar. You may have told it before, but
I think I may have told this story on the show before, yeah.
But it feels good. It's like watching Breaking Bad again. It feels good to hear it again.
Right.
I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Someone says they have a nice arcade in the Circus Circus. Is that true?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you've also got, well, and there's a little amusement park in the back. If you want an arcade, go to, either go to the Fun Dungeon underneath, sounds like a place you'd never want to ever go, the Fun Dungeon.
Yeah, especially
but
Vegas.
It's underneath Excalibur. Or go to the freaking Pinball Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Do that. That's probably what we'll do this time. If there's time. All right. Hey, this is going to do it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you liked what you heard, patreon.com/TMS is a place to give back. Check that out. You can also find our website at frogpants.com/TMS. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, and find us on Twitter, Coverville for Brian, Scott Johnson for me, and Morning Stream for the show. That's going to do it. We should leave. But before that, a request song unit deal.
A request song. Yes, I found out. I just found the advertisement for it. Apparently, I was 11 when that happened. I need to find the... I'm going to try and find the Las Vegas billboard sign that says Bill Cosby and Doug Henning. Anyway, our pal Leslie, Logan's mom, wrote in and said, "Good morning, guys. April 9th, which was yesterday, marks 5 years since Logan made his grand entrance, or should I say grand exit. Anyway, he's been loving the Beatles lately, and his favorite song of the moment is Yellow Submarine. Any cover of that song would be great if you'd rather. He also really likes Love Is All You Need, so any cover of that would be great, too. Love My Low, though." Signed, Leslie, Logan's mom.
Aww.
Well, we love seeing Logan every year at BlizzCon, and seeing you, of course, too, Leslie.
Yeah. Cool kid, though.
And the song is called All You Need Is Love, not Love Is All You Need. But, you know, we're not going to worry about that.
No.
It's too much hassle to worry about.
Splitting
Speaking of too
hairs.
Much hassle, so much hassle, how about a Russian version of Yellow Submarine? Because why not? This is a band called Selo in Ludi. They came out with this last year. I think it's only available on YouTube. I've been looking for a Selo in Ludi album to buy, but there's a lot of covers and worth finding as many of them as you can. This is Yellow Submarine by Selo in Ludi.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Normal Wednesday business. So come on back now. You hear?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Pissed blood!
Jeez.